Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
It's not quite been 24 hours. At this point, it's 15, 16 hours since Lamar dropped his bombshell news. How calculated, though. He waited until almost the exact moment that his head coach was facing the music. Da-da-da-da. Or do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Pick whatever music you like. He waited until the exact second that John Harbaugh had to face questions. Harbaugh, I don't know if he's on Twitter. I've never looked. But Harbaugh got blindsided. This was like Survivor on speed. He got blindsided by this series of tweets from Lamar Jackson. By now, maybe you've seen them, read them, shared them. A letter to my fans. I want to first thank you all for all of the love and support you consistently show towards me. All of you are amazing, and I appreciate y'all so much. I want you all to know not to believe everything you read about me. Let me personally answer your questions. Just reach out to me personally. I'd be happy to answer your questions. As of March 2nd, I requested a trade from the Ravens organization. March 2nd, so nearly a month ago. He goes on to say, for which the Ravens has not been interested in meeting my value. Any and everyone that's met me or been around me know I love the game of football and my dream is to help a team win the Super Bowl. You all are great, but I had to make, there's always a but, a big old but. You all are great, but I had to make a decision that was best for my family and I. No matter how far I go or where my career takes me, I'll continue to be close to my fans of Baltimore Flock Nation and the entire state of Maryland. You'll see me again. And then he actually shares his own website so that people can find him there and connect with him there. It reads as a bit of a Dear John letter. I'm breaking up with you. Actually, Dear John Harbaugh. That's good, Amy. That wasn't even on purpose. Dear John Harbaugh letter. It reads as though I'm breaking up with you before you can break up with me. However, my first response is, I don't know if this is a permanent goodbye. This could be an on-again, off-again relationship. Oh, and take your girl's word for it. Those rarely go well. I don't know that this is as cut and dried as the Baker Mayfield situation with the Browns, where he wrote his Dear John letter. The Browns, right after that, secured the commitment and gave the massive contract to Deshaun Watson. And then he was on the outs, period. There was no going back, nor did they need him. Now, in this case, Lamar Jackson may want to get out and he may desire a trade. He may believe his path, his only path, lies away from Baltimore with a different team. The problem is, where? We're pretty deep into the QB chessboard. The game's been going on for quite a while. And if he requested a trade going back a month ago, there's certainly been no movement. It may turn out that Lamar's best option is still Baltimore. Now, granted, because the Ravens slapped, that's not the right word. That's not the right verb. Because they placed because they christened Lamar with the non-exclusive franchise tag, he will make less money than he would have if they'd put the exclusive franchise tag on him, and obviously less money than if he had signed the deal that they offered him, which the last we knew, and this was confirmed by Lamar, 3 years, $133 million, mostly guaranteed, not completely guaranteed, but mostly guaranteed. Jackson hasn't talked about his contract publicly since last season kicked off. And he hasn't spoken to reporters since December 2nd. So at this point, he's been playing his cards very close to the vest until speaking up served his purposes. So now what? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I owe you guys. I really do. I owe you. Because I promised you a tale, a quick tale, of what I did on Saturday. I actually did that on our last show, and then twice I completely forgot. Well, I got started talking about something else and then ran out of time, so that's my fault. I actually got called out on social media for not paying off on my tees. It's what we call it in the business. So I promise you that tonight. We've got a lot of news from Arizona, and it fits perfectly in terms of the timing. I don't believe in coinkydinks, so I know that the NFL is calculated in how and when it makes headlines. These 2 days in Arizona, oh yes, designed to make headlines when college basketball is transitioning from the Sweet 16 to the Final Four. Only a handful of games in the NBA and the NHL, really not a whole lot of news making on Monday outside of the NFL. It's uncanny. It is uncanny. The people who are in charge of the NFL calendar, it's unrivaled how well they find pockets and snag the storylines. We tend to have a wandering eye once free agency is done, right? Trades are made, free agency is done. Sports fans, we have a bit of a wandering eye. The NFL won't have it.
It's time to have some fun.
Snatches our interest right back. And we are now a month away from the draft, which means more and more the attention will be on specifically those four quarterbacks at the top of the draft and everything else that will happen. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we've got a lot of NFL tonight. If you are one of those people, I would say you are a select few, who doesn't want to hear about football, this is your warning. This is your fair warning. I'd be happy to share our Easter candy with you. The box is currently in studio. That's closer to me than Jay. Jay and I are separated by the double pane glass and a pair of doors, heavy doors that very often will bite you in the rear end if you're not careful. So the candy is in here with me. Wow. As I say that, Manny, who is working with us tonight, he's doing something on his phone until I said candy, and his head jerks up over the top of the computer monitor. Hey, first rule of working on After Hours, Manny, put down your phone while we're on the air. First rule, don't be like Jack. I'm just saying, is it not, Producer Jay? You're in the control room with Manny. Presumably Manny is training. Is that what he's doing?
That is correct.
Okay, so Manny has been given the opportunity. I do think it's quite a nod to you, Manny. You've been given the opportunity to train on this here unique show. There is no show like it on the network, which is why you have to train specifically and After Hours. And you are in there on your phone. What are you learning on your phone, Manny? Jay, what is he learning on his phone?
I think he was taking notes, but...
He was taking notes on his phone?
Yeah. Okay,
I'm trusting you. Okay,
he's
all right
notes.
Then. I've never heard of anyone taking notes, so that I appreciate. So I stand corrected. Manny, you are allowed to take notes on your phone. If Jay sees that you're on social media or watching a YouTube video, you need to accidentally slap the phone onto the ground.
Chuck it across the wall.
Well, no, don't do that, because then we could be accused of something. I don't know, something.
Something.
We could be accused of something. Just, you know, accidentally bump into him so that his phone falls to the ground. Have you ever done that before? Walking through a crowded train station or a crowded platform or anything, and someone's coming at you with they're walking right at you, and they're not looking at you because their head's down into their phones. I've accidentally accidentally bumped into people before just to see if I can get them to drop their phones.
A little forearm shiver.
Well, yeah, not quite so overt, but I've literally stayed in their path until they walk into me because, you know, I'm solid as a rock. So come on, bring it.
I mean, honestly, it really is dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Like a ticket to text and walk.
A ticket?
It should be. If I was an officer, I'd give someone a ticket.
I bet that would stick too. I'm sure.
$50.
That would
Don't
laugh.
Do it again.
They would laugh in your face. A little bit like the parking ticket I got in Boston 10 years ago for leaving my dog in the car. That's not a crime.
Really?
No, it's not a crime. And I didn't pay it. That's not a crime. Find me somewhere, anywhere, in a book, anywhere, whether Massachusetts or any other state in this grand old U.S., where I'm not allowed to leave my dog in the car.
Yeah. I never heard of that being a law.
No, it's not a law. So I think I kept the ticket for about, I don't know, 6 years, and then I shredded it. I was like, this is ridiculous. You can't give me a ticket.
And it's fine.
Forget fine. It's my dog and my car. You can't tell me what to do with my dog and my car. And before anyone asks, it was the middle of winter. It was February. The windows were down. It was 29 degrees out. The dog was fine. She loved the car. She loved to come with me. It's better than leaving her at home for 12 hours by herself, no?
She's going on a road trip.
So she took a road trip with me to Boston and hung out in the car while I was working, doing a little bit of work. I went out and checked on her every few minutes. The dog was happy as a clam. She's sleeping in there. Some police officer thought he would get all snippy and snarky and smart and give me a ticket for leaving my dog in the car.
Is that what it said?
Oh, it absolutely did. The ticket said, leaving dog in car.
Coda.
So needless to say, I did not pay it. That's ridiculous.
And all is right. I mean, it's fine, right? They haven't come back for you?
Come back for me? What does that mean? Like I'm going to get arrested for not paying a parking ticket for leaving my dog in the car?
I think that could happen.
No, it couldn't happen. It's not a law. There's no law in the entire United States of America that says you can't leave your dog in the car. You can't just make up laws and give people tickets.
No.
Exactly.
Doesn't work like that.
No. And I do love the great state of Massachusetts, but that was a thinly veiled attempt to extort money from me, and it did not happen. All right, so I stand corrected, Manny. Thank you for taking notes. That's actually very professional and insightful of you. From now on, that's the rule. Now you have to take notes when you're in there.
New standard.
Manny set the standard. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. All right, coming up in 45 minutes, we are going to head to Arizona, and we're going to talk with a brand new guest on the show. He's the lead NFL writer for the Associated Press, Rob Motti. And as I understand it, there's a media party or some type of NFL reception going on, but he's going to step away and he is going to hang out with us for a couple of minutes on the show. And we'll talk to him about the reaction there in Phoenix to Lamar Jackson acknowledging a trade request. Side note, his trade request to the Ravens, if he is telling the truth, and I have no reason to think that he wouldn't, but if he's giving us the accurate date of May 2nd that he requested the trade from the Ravens, March 2nd. Thank you, Jay. Did you know that came 5 days before the Ravens put the franchise tag on him? How about that? So if that's the truth, if he did go to the franchise in early March or the first 2 days of March, the Ravens knew it when they chose to put the non-exclusive tag on Lamar. So the idea is that they would have all the information. Lamar wants out. We have to tag him because we then are guaranteed at least 2 first-round draft picks plus whatever else would come with it. But also, he wants out. Why would we use the exclusive tag, which, if he doesn't find a trade partner, if we don't find a trade partner, if we choose not to trade him, we get to pay him less money. I get that there was a stalemate there. And Lamar and his family, he doesn't have an agent, but Lamar and his family wanted to make something happen, but he kind of tipped his hand so that the Ravens knew exactly what they should do as a contingency. So this is in the moment on Monday morning, John Harbaugh's reaction when he found out Lamar revealed on Twitter his trade request.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited, thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
Is Lamar Jackson going to start for the Ravens week number one, Coach?
I do. You know, you got to
wait, hold on. I said that up wrong. I don't like these types of sound bites where I have to set up a question. It's like awkward for me, but I didn't trim this one. So take two. Coach, do you expect Lamar Jackson? There we go. My goodness. Do you expect Lamar Jackson to be your starter week number one?
I do. You know, you got to plan for all the contingencies for sure. But I'm pretty fired up about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a great player.
I will say this about John Harbaugh. Even if he's caught off guard, he always speaks highly of Lamar. Harbaugh always takes the high road. It's the Harbaugh high road. He never tips his hand. You don't know that he's frustrated. You don't know that he's upset. He's not pointing fingers. He's not assessing blame. There's no part of John Harbaugh that ever appears. Now, there may be something roiling underneath, but there's no part of John Harbaugh that ever appears to be flummoxed or annoyed or upset or worried.
Nope. Nobody's got it better than the Ravens.
Nope. He is just prepared and conditioned now that he will speak highly of his quarterback. What is the most likely outcome to this whole brouhaha? It's probably not a ticket for leaving your dog in the car. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better. I would say that, especially if the two sides have to kiss and make up. And yet John Harbaugh, he doesn't seem angry. He's not taking pot shots. He's not being snarky. I would be snarky. I'd be passive aggressive, probably. No, I try to keep it very professional. If you listen to my show long enough, you know that I don't take pot shots at people, including my former network. John Harbaugh is potentially caught unaware here. It sounds like that was the plan with Lamar's tweet. But all he does is rave about Lamar and about the Ravens with him as their QB.
You want it done already, but it's just not always possible. I mean, this is the real world. This is big time pro sports at the highest level, and contracts are important and they matter to both sides. The thing that I love about the situation, I believe, is that in the end, you got good people, you know, working together. I mean, we've been with Lamar. You know, I've been with Lamar as a coach and players and coaches and all of us in the organization have been together for, what, 5 years now, you know? We've been through some crazy things, some amazing moments, some tough moments, challenges, ups and downs together. You know, we've hugged in the locker room after wins. We've hugged in the locker room after losses, you know? Those are things that last forever. Those relationships never change. So this is part of it, you know? It's part of the story that's being written, and everybody's writing the story. But I just appreciate that it's been handled with class. Lamar's handled it with class. Lamar's under contract, and that's the guy that's the guy I want to see be our quarterback. You know, that's my guy.
John Harbaugh has remained consistent. Of course, that's the guy I want to see as our quarterback. Lamar's my guy. He doesn't sound disingenuous to me. I understand that Lamar's frustrated, and I get it. I've been in contract situations before, contract negotiations before that didn't go my way. I wasn't asking for the kind of money he was. But a contract negotiation is a contract negotiation. And there are times where you run into a brick wall and you feel like there's absolutely nothing else that can be done and you're being undervalued and underappreciated. So then it's your prerogative as an employee to say, hey, I want out. But in this particular case, the NFL rules allow a team to tag a player to ensure that either he plays for them or he plays nowhere. Those are the rules. Now, Lamar can choose not to sign his tag, not to sign the tender, but guess what? He wouldn't be allowed to play for anyone else. This is a time in which he doesn't have as much leverage as the team does, unless, of course, he's going to pull a Le'Veon Bell and choose not to play. You lose a lot of money that way. And here's the crazy part. The Ravens could tag him again next year. This is all in the NFL Collective Bargaining Association, or Collective Bargaining Agreement. All right. Lamar and then the Ravens. Those were the two dominoes that dropped first thing in Arizona on Monday. But it wasn't the only thing. Did you hear what the general manager of the Packers said about Aaron Rodgers? I think he could have used the term ghosting. I don't know that he did, but he could have used the term ghosting.
Don't have your number. You're not going to have my number.
Jay, that's just wrong. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code podcast.
To the After Hours Podcast.
What happened with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Brett Goode, on and on and on. There's just a way of doing things that... You don't want to bring him back, that's fine. It's a business. But there's a way of doing it that allows the man to keep the dignity. And honestly, that's some of the stuff I was fighting for a couple of years ago.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Aaron Rodgers went on in that conversation with the Pat McAfee Show. Was that last week? Was it just last week or 2 weeks ago? It was 2 weeks ago. It feels like he never really goes away. He went on to say in that conversation that now... There's irony in the fact that this is what he was fighting for. Packers are not great at how they bid farewell or part ways with some of their longtime players. How ironic now that he's the one who is fighting for dignity. Now, what did Aaron Rodgers tell us? He said, again, this is on the Pat McAfee Show 2 weeks ago, that he went into his darkness retreat. Jay, if you can find this cut, let me know. He went into his darkness retreat.
I'm going to my darkness retreat.
When he came out after essentially 5 days with no Wi-Fi, no phone, he found out that the Packers had changed their philosophy, their approach, their thoughts about the future. He went in there thinking, based on their exit interviews, that they were waiting on him to decide what he wanted to do. He came out and he says somehow the Packers had changed tactics.
When I came out, I was really interested in what the kind of landscape was, where Green Bay was at. And obviously, if I wanted to play, you know, what were the options? So it was clear to me at that point that although the Packers are going to say the right thing publicly, that they were ready to move on.
He went on to say, I don't know what changed. I don't know why it changed. I just know that when I came out of the darkness, it had changed. Well, it's now become a he said, he said, because that's not the story the Packers are giving us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Are you ready? This is such delicious drama. Brian Gutekunst was there in Arizona on Monday, and there was a reporter scrum around him asking him questions. We got this audio specifically from Matt Schneidman's Twitter. Matt's been a guest here on the show before. He says it was on Aaron. Aaron's the one that cut off the communication.
We got out of the off season or after the season, and we had a good conversation. And then, you know, we're going to have some follow up conversations. And our inability to reach him or for him to respond in any way, I think at that point, then we just kind of had to do my job and kind of reach out and understanding that a trade could be possible and see who was interested. But that shopping was never really part of that.
So is that the time when Aaron was in his darkness retreat? Because, yeah, if you can't, he doesn't have a phone and there's really no signal there. And it was Oregon, right, where he was retreating. He retreated to Oregon. So if he was in his darkness retreat, that would explain why they didn't get a response. Of course, he's got an agent. He's got a team that reps him. And according to Brian, it was silence. Silencia. He got ghosted. This is so funny because, I'm sorry, it's funny to me because it's the exact opposite of what Aaron Rodgers said.
So I think obviously it was a disappointing season, right? And you come out of the season, you have a lot of conversations, not only with Aaron, but with the rest of the team, coaches and everybody. And then as you go through that process, you kind of get an idea of where you're going to move to, you know, as a team, how you're going to go forward. And I think I was really looking forward to the conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. So, there came a time where we had to make some, you know, decisions. So we went through his representatives to try to kind of talk to him where we were going with our team. And at that point, they informed us they would like to be traded to the Jets.
Oh, my gosh.
Animals.
Jay, knock it off. I'm trying to be serious here, and you're using drops that make me want to laugh. Okay, let's lay it out there what we know. And Marco Belletti's here in studio. Someone's lying. That's what we know for sure. Someone's not telling the truth. Or someone's taking liberties with the truth. Again, according to Aaron, after the exit interviews, he was under the impression the team was waiting for him. Right? Remember, that's what he told us on the Pat McAfee show. Mm-hmm. That he left Green Bay. And he was at a golf tournament. He was in California before his darkness retreat. And that he heard from the team that they would wait for him to decide if he wanted to retire or wanted to continue playing. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, then they would figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. He goes into his darkness retreat. He says he comes out. His phone's blown up. He doesn't know what's changed, but the Packers have clearly moved on. The Packers are saying that they tried to reach out to him. They were waiting for him. They tried to reach out for him. That he never responded. His team didn't respond. By the time they got a hold of Rodgers' team, Aaron Rodgers and his camp had already decided they'd rather be traded to the Jets. So who's lying? Who's telling the truth?
Again, this is so stupid on so many levels. But this is what happens when you're passive aggressive. They let Aaron Rodgers do whatever the hell he wanted for 18 years. And they did that same thing after the season was over. Aaron, you do what you got to do. We'll talk about it when you want to talk about it. And Rodgers did what he always does. He walked away doing whatever the hell he wanted. The Packers didn't want him anymore. And they didn't know how to say, we need to move on. We got to figure this out.
Right.
So now after it's over, now you want to spin it to try to turn maybe some of the public thought process and maybe kind of get some of the anger that you've had and the frustration for 18 years because you've been at the beck and call of Aaron Rodgers at your own. You did it yourself. It's not like he did it. You did it to him because he wanted the way he wanted things. And you said, well, I can't get Aaron Rodgers mad. So you let him get away with whatever he wanted for so long. Now you're going to be a child. And after you want to get rid of him, ooh, you want to put it on him and spin it afterwards. Both of them, children. Somebody stand up and take responsibility. Aaron, you wanted the Packers to come to you and beg and say, be our quarterback for life. They didn't want to do that. Packers, you wanted to move on from Aaron Rodgers? Stand up, have a spine, and say, we need to move on. Thank you for everything. We appreciate it. We need to move on, and with Jordan Love is our future. Very simple. But nobody could do that. Everybody's passive aggressive.
I do understand. Okay, but I do understand why you, if you're the Packers, would prefer that Aaron make the decision because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's been your franchise for 18 years.
They wanted him to make the decision of retiring. That's what they wanted.
Well, yeah, but they can't control that.
Right. And when they realized he didn't want to retire, we got to do something about this. We can't keep Aaron Rodgers. They knew they couldn't keep Aaron Rodgers. They
so you don't believe then that they tried to reach out to him?
Not for 1 second.
Really?
Not
so you
for
think
this, 1 second.
Okay, so you don't think they tried to reach out to him. You think Aaron's telling the truth that he comes out of the darkness and rut-row, something's completely changed.
Yeah, because okay. Aaron Rodgers has never been told no, and they still didn't tell him no. They waited for him to do what he wanted to do. When he realized, oh, man, they don't really want me anymore, which I don't know how he didn't see that before. But now he figured it out, and now he realized it, and that hurt his feelings, and he said, you know what, okay. We need to move on.
The only comparison recently that I feel like really fits this is the Jim Boeheim Syracuse situation. Yes, they, because Jim Boeheim is Syracuse University Athletics. I mean, he's, well, okay. Well, he's still in the athletic department.
I know.
Same thing with Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. Syracuse, you think Jim Boeheim.
Right.
He has meant the world to them. And I don't just mean basketball in terms of recruiting and enrollment and money and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. He's kept them on the map for how many years? Not to mention a national championship, multiple Final Fours, blah, blah, blah. How do you say to Jim Boeheim, get out? Like, it's really difficult. As you talk about, there's the PR impact of saying to a Hall of Famer and a man who's meant so much to your university for 50 years, mm-hmm. sayonara.
Right.
But at the same time, you need him to retire. Mm-hmm. There's no easy way to do it. Rodgers and Jim Boeheim are both resisting. Neither one of them wants to be replaced, even though the writing is so large on the wall that you can't miss it. And so what happens? Cuse finally has to just rip the Band-Aid off and say, okay, we're transitioning to our next coach, like minutes after the Cuse loses their last game.
And again, it would have been nice if you'd have done that before so you don't have that nonsense of Jim Boeheim in that press conference.
Well, I know,
and
but
you don't
Boeheim,
have this.
Boeheim didn't want to go.
I understand that, but they also were passive-aggressive in that regard because they never sat him down and said, Jim, you can't come back.
I know, but they were hoping that he would leave.
Great. We all hope for a lot of things. At some point, you got to sit down and have the conversation. None of these conversations are easy.
I
get that.
It, yes.
I get that, too. Look, I understand. Nobody wants to sit down
why
and have
to. Why
are
you yelling at me?
I don't know why anybody wants to sit down and tell somebody, look, get the hell out. Nobody wants to say that to anybody. I understand that. But if you're in a position of power, and this is your position, and you have to do this job, as much as it sucks, it's your job. And you can't do the nonsense of, no, everything will be great. And then afterwards, when they shut the door, how the hell do we get rid of this guy?
Exactly.
You can't
how do we
that.
Get rid of this guy?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's any company, it's any walk of life, it's any position
it's
that
true.
You're in. At some point, it's better to have the conversation of, look, I appreciate everything you've done. Leave your key card, get your stuff, get the hell out of here. Oh. At some point, you got to do it.
I suck at that kind of stuff.
So everybody does.
This. Okay, promise me this, Marco. You and I came into the network together. If there becomes a time when it's very evident that the company wants to move on or my time has passed, will you be the one to tell me?
Let me put it this way.
Amy.
Somebody's leaving,
him.
It's going to be me before
no,
you.
No, okay? Don't say that.
So at that point, I don't think I'm going to get a conversation. A good chance I don't get an email.
That's
my
true.
Key card would work, and
it
I'd be downstairs in the lobby.
Right.
In the lobby.
Don't you worry,
so,
I'll let you in.
Well, so that's my point. So that, again, that's the same concept. Like, as much as no one wants to be told, your job is no longer required, you're no longer required.
We're moving on. Yes.
Whatever way you want to phrase it, okay? When you don't have a job anymore, no matter what is told to you, you don't want to hear it, and it sucks.
Well, especially if you're a Hall of Famer.
I understand that, but any walk of life, would you rather find out when you're sat down and it's face-to-face and it sucks, or would you rather seriously get to work and either your key card doesn't work or you got an email that you can't get into because it's your work email and you're no longer
right.
able to get into it.
Right.
So you have no idea what's going on.
I'll tell you what happened to me two times. This actually happened two times. I prepared for my annual review. I went in with a proposal about why I should get a raise. Two times got fired unceremoniously. Walked in, sat down. I'm dressed up. I've got my proposal. Hey, Amy, we've decided to move in a different direction. We're letting you go. Twice.
Again, and that's awful.
It is awful.
And you sit there and you, you know, again.
I didn't cry though. Are you proud of me?
Well,
in either time.
That's nice.
Yeah,
again, but it's like a kick in the face. I get it. And nobody wants to get kicked in the face by a mule. That's basically what happened. However,
true.
I'd rather get kicked in the face by the mule than not know what's going on. Okay. And you're seriously right. At work and you're kind of looking at you and everybody's looking at you like, yeah, man, you don't work here no more. Like, what?
Yeah.
What happened?
I get you. I mean, the other option would be we'd rather you quit us before we quit you. But this is what happens. Yeah.
Right. The passive aggressive will never work. And everyone's trying to do it. And unfortunately, this is where I know what Aaron Rodgers is. He's shown us what he is. I get he's going to have like these childish things. We know what it is and we're kind of used to it. I feel a little disappointed by the Packers in the simple fact of don't now, after you let him get away with anything he wanted for 18 years, don't now try to spin it and say, well, Aaron didn't want to talk to us and Aaron walked away and Aaron did this. And then afterwards, all these things leak out about how Aaron Rodgers wasn't a great teammate or right. wasn't the great Packer or wasn't the great this. You took your 18 years. You let him do whatever he wanted. Now say thank you. Be an adult.
It's true.
And never look back on the negative. Oof. And just say thank you for all the positives. Swallow it and swallow it hard because guess what? You did it to yourself. Don't be a child and then now complain.
So just got this tweet from Chris, which I think is interesting. Where does the meeting between the Jets and Rodgers fall between these two differing sides of the story? Well, we know that the Jets only could meet with Aaron Rodgers because the Packers gave him right. permission. Right. So, like, there's that element to it as well. So somewhere in the middle, Chris, is the answer that the Jets and Aaron Rodgers wanted to have a conversation, couldn't do it without the Packers' permission. So at the very least, Green Bay did not get blindsided by this. They may have been blindsided by Rodgers saying he wanted to go to the Jets, and by blindsided, I'm using my air quotations, but they did not get blindsided because he couldn't talk to them without the Packers' permission. Right?
Again, so, and that part of it people forget because there's no way that Aaron Rodgers said, I want to go to the Jets before he met with the Jets.
No, that's
there's
true.
No chance.
No, absolutely.
No chance.
Absolutely
he could have saw the writing on the wall. There's back channels and all that nonsense. He'd have never said, trade me to the Jets before he met with the Jets.
That is true. All right. You can find me on Twitter. Chris, good question. Thanks for asking.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
So A-Law Radio or our Facebook page, top of the hour, we'll get the update from Phoenix on the Aaron Rodgers lack of a trade.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
All right.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get. You know, the Jets are attractive. But, you know, there's one coach who's been as much to me as any coach I've ever had. And he happens to be the coordinator.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What does Nathaniel Hackett have to do with it? That is the coordinator to whom Aaron Rodgers referred on his most recent appearance on the Pat McAfee Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Those are Aaron's own words. Once he admitted that he had told the franchise he wanted to be traded to the Jets, that's their intention, his camp. Our intention is to play for the New York Jets. And I mean, the Packers admitted that. Their version of how we got to this point is different than Aaron's, but I guess that's water under the bridge. It's really more about saving face and about PR and propaganda, right? It doesn't matter how we got to this point. We are at this point now. So then, why isn't the deal done? When is the deal getting done? What's the holdup? Are you starting to freak out? This is Jets General Manager Joe Douglas on potential possible timeline for the trade.
There's no hard deadline, and there's not a ton of urgency from our standpoint right now, but still very optimistic.
That's General Manager Joe Douglas. We're optimistic, but there's no timeline. Okay, well then why is it dragging on and on?
I think each deal is a little bit different in its own right. In certain trade talks, there have been times where we've had compensation agreed to. This one just played out different. I feel like every deal, every transaction kind of has its own life, and this one was just different.
It definitely is different. We'll get an update from Phoenix at the top of the hour with Rob Motti, who is the AP writer to cover the NFL. He's there in the thick of everything, and he's going to give us the latest, what he heard and what people are talking about on Monday. However, Robert Saleh, he was answering questions as the head coach of the Jets. Are you getting nervous? Anybody anxious? What's going on, coach? How you feeling?
It is what it is. Letting Joe and handle his part of it and let him work. But for us, we're just focused on the guys who are in the building and just making sure that we're putting together our schemes the best way we can. And, whatever happens, happens.
We need to do a more updated version of a question we've asked you before on the show. Your least favorite catchphrases in sports. We've done that before. And people get very passionate about some of the cliches they hear, and mine is that one. It is what it is. Thanks, Bill Belichick. It is what it is. We hear it from everybody now. Josh Allen, and I love Josh Allen, but I swear that he and Joe Burrow, it's the first phrase that comes out of their mouths.
I covered it.
So don't you wish that you knew at this point, it's late March, what your QB situation, your QB room is going to look like?
You'd always like to. Yeah. Takes two to tango, so it's just it's a process. We respect the process, and whenever it gets done, it'll get done.
Just out of curiosity, Joe Douglas, any interest in filling that QB spot with Lamar Jackson?
First of all, Lamar Jackson's a fantastic player, but where we stand is, it would be disingenuous in operating, negotiating in bad faith if we went down that path. So right now, we have our plan, we have our process, and we're sticking to that.
All right, so if we were to, I like the fact that he completely admits it. If we were to reach out to Lamar, talk about a potential trade, it would be disingenuous, bad faith, because we have zero intention of actually trading for him. It would be more about stirring the pot. It would be more about creating buzz. It might be about getting a fire lit or stoking the fire underneath the Packers to get them to move their feet a little faster. But it would be unfair to Lamar, and I appreciate that from Joe Douglas. It wouldn't be right because we have zero intention of actually trading for him. We've got our path. We've got our process. It's Aaron Rodgers or bust. Way to go, Jets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.